Welcome to AM Best Audio.
The commercial trucking industry is confronting a perfect storm, a projected driver shortage exceeding 160,000 by 2030, soaring insurance premiums, and the growing threat of nuclear verdicts, now with a median award of over $44 million. These pressures are forcing fleets to rethink how they operate and manage risk. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Dr. Stefan Heck, CEO and founder of Nauto, an AI-powered fleet safety company that works with some of the largest commercial fleets in the world. Stefan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
So, Stefan, insurance premiums for commercial fleets have seen double-digit increases in recent years. What are the main drivers behind these rising costs, and how are they impacting fleet operations?
Yeah, as you already teed up, it's a big challenge for fleet operators because costs all across the board are rising. Insurance specifically is rising for a couple different reasons. First, what we have seen is that frequency actually has gone up in some types of collisions. In particular, one of the most expensive collision types out there is pedestrian collisions, where you hit, you know, bicyclist or pedestrian out on the road. And those have risen over the last 6 years to an all-time high. They rose by about 40%. And those are, when you talk about nuclear verdicts, that's right up there in the nuclear verdicts, you know, when you critically injure or kill a bystander. The reason for that has mostly to do with distraction. There's an epidemic of distraction sweeping not just the country, but the whole world, driven mostly by smartphones. We see about 80% of all distraction is really driven by phones. And people are addicted to their phones, and that's really not a good thing when you're driving. So that's the first reason. The second is, as you already mentioned, jury verdicts are going up in cost. And anytime you're driving commercially, particularly with a famous brand and logo on the side of your van or truck, you've got a little banner under that logo that says, "I have deep pockets, please sue me." And so there's a whole plaintiff attorney industry that basically is looking for victims that got hit by, you know, some famous brand and then turn that into a nuclear verdict. And so you definitely see jury verdicts growing. You see the plaintiff attorney business growing. And, you know, at the small scale, it's a way for people to get justice when they got hit. But at a larger scale, it just skews the economics. The third is actually interesting. The repair costs are also going up dramatically. Some of that's technology. You know, cars pack in more and more electronics, more and more sensors. If you look at a typical truck today, it'll have radar, it'll have cameras, it'll have all kinds of sensors around the edge of the truck. And two things happen there. One is they just get more expensive to repair in general because you've got more sensitive electronics. The electronics also, by definition, if you've got a sensor, it has to be on the edge, the outer surface of the vehicle. So, you know, typical sensor in your bumper, the ultrasonic sensor or the radar is the first thing to get crushed and hit. So the sensors take more damage than the rest of the car. And then the worst part is many of these components, unlike a, you know, chrome bumper that you could bend correctly again and repaint, a lot of these electronic components you really can't repair. So you're talking about replacement, and that can be thousands of dollars per component. So repair costs are going up for that reason as well. Underneath all that really is that the, you know, labor and materials costs are now going up across the board. We've had several years of high inflation, and that looks to continue as well. And so even just the labor repair costs are going up as well. But the bigger part really is the electronic components and the sensors that are so expensive to replace.
You mentioned the nuclear verdicts. I mentioned nuclear verdicts in the introduction as well. $44 million is a median nuclear verdict, not the average, the median. So how can AI and predictive safety tools help mitigate legal risk and protect fleets from these devastating losses?
Yeah, it's, I actually heard a new term that I hadn't heard before, thermonuclear verdicts, which is over $100 million in loss. So it's really going up there. AI can help in two ways. The first one is AI can help prevent collisions. And obviously, that's the best outcome for everybody. Because if the collision didn't happen, the damage didn't happen, then, you know, nobody gets hurt, nobody owes anything. But the second way that AI can help is in proving what happens and exonerating the commercial driver, or at least showing, you know, whose fault it was, And therefore reducing the jury verdict, even if you didn't prevent the collision. But let me talk about each of these in turn a little bit. On the collision avoidance, AI is extremely powerful and able to detect many, many of the subtle risks. You know, at Nauto, for example, we detect about 30 different individual risks. How close are you to the vehicle ahead of you? Is the light turning red? Is there a pedestrian crossing? Is the driver falling asleep? Is the driver looking left when there's a danger coming from the right? We also, in addition to looking at individual risks, this is all done by AI onboard the vehicle in real time. So there's no video recording, no supervisor watching. It's really just AI protecting you in real time. We also look at combinations of risks, and we project that forward about 4 or 5 seconds into the future. So you look at the current scene and you say, hey, this combination, the light's turning red, the pedestrian's waiting to cross, and my driver's looking to the other side, that's a bad combination. And we see these kinds of combination circumstances where risk can be several thousand times normal driving risk. To give you a sense, most risks that people are worried about, like not wearing your seatbelt or smoking a cigarette while you're driving or being slightly drowsy, you're talking about risks that are 40% higher or maybe 2 or 3x higher. But these combinations I'm talking about, where you're distracted and there's a pedestrian crossing, you're talking about 2 to 3,000 times higher risk than normal risk. So that's where you're really, you know, that's a nuclear verdict waiting to happen. And AI can detect that with 4 or 5 seconds of time left to alert the driver, to get them to swerve, brake, redirect their attention to where they need to look. And also, where we're headed is really the AI itself will trigger vehicle response as well. So the vehicle can swerve automatically or brake automatically if the driver isn't already doing it. So that's a huge lever. You know, when we deploy our AI into fleets, we generally see about 65% reduction in collisions. So you're eliminating, you know, two-thirds of all collisions. You can't eliminate everything. If you're stopped at a red light and somebody rear-ends you, you know, you're kind of a sitting duck. You can't do anything in that situation. But a lot of the collisions that are running red lights, running stop signs, not seeing a pedestrian, not realizing the vehicle in front of you is braking, those are all eminently avoidable, and they can be eliminated through AI. And, you know, our experience is the drivers are grateful because if you're driving along and you miss something and the AI alerts you, and you're able to avoid a collision, I use this highly technical term. It's an oh shit moment where the driver goes, oh my God. And that's where the driver learns, the driver's grateful, and they really realize, you know, the power of the AI. And we're big believers that human drivers plus AI is the best solution because the human driver has experience, judgment. You can't always replace human judgment with AI, right? You have to understand the world and understand context. But AI has some benefits too. It never gets tired, it never gets drowsy, it never misses, you know, paying attention. And so it can see things that the human driver can't. So that's the actual collision avoidance. There are collisions that I mentioned that you can't avoid, right? Sometimes other people make mistakes. They'll run a red light that they shouldn't have. And so you get hit. But what we found is after you've reduced two-thirds of the collisions, the vast majority of what remains, about 80% of what remains, is third-party fault. So it's going to be mostly other people hitting you. And as we talked about earlier, you know, with the logo on the side of the truck, you're still going to get blamed, right? The other party's going to say, no, it was that, you know, big company truck that hit me. But if you have AI, the AI can log what happened, can first of all detect the collision, but then also can log what happened leading up to it, can provide evidence of what happened right after. And what we've seen in 10 years of operations, we've only gone to court once to support one of our customers. The rest of the time, with the evidence that the AI has collected, the counterparty immediately says, yep, you're right. It was my fault. And they settle. So it's a great way to avoid these nuclear verdicts. Even in the case that went to court, the payout was much smaller than a nuclear verdict. So it is powerful protection because you've got a, you know, an unassailable record of what happened. Now, some people ask me, okay, so 80% is the other person's fault. What about that last 20%, right? I've eliminated two-thirds, one-third remains, 20% of that one-third. So now you're talking about, you know, 5, 6, 7% of collisions that are still my driver's faults. Interestingly, even there, AI helps you save money because yes, you are at fault, so you're going to pay. But if you know you've hurt somebody, you can call an ambulance, get them to hospital, make sure they get medical treatment. And if that person goes sees a doctor in that first hour where you can still avoid any kind of chronic damage, you know, get them to surgery if they need to, you'll face a, you know, a hospital bill. but you won't have a multi-million-dollar nuclear verdict. And so that's really important as well. You can, by getting people to treatment right away when you've injured them, you can avoid that nuclear verdict outcome.
So I was really astonished to read that we could be looking at a driver shortage of about 160,000 people, or 160,000 drivers by 2030, especially considering how long we've been hearing about the possibility of driverless fleets for like 20 years now, right?
Yeah, so 60, so, I think, if you look at the early claims. So, yeah.
So how do driver shortages and high turnover contribute to increased insurance premiums? And what role does safe technology play in reducing that risk?
Yeah, so a couple things. One is, you know, driving is a tough job, right? Long hours, if you're driving cross country, can be relatively boring and lonely. And so it's not something that draws a lot of young talent as a, you know, as a sexy job. Generally, people do it because they want the independence, they want the flexible hours, but it's a tough job. And so that's why you see high turnover. If you have a collision, that is one of the top drivers of churn or turnover in drivers as well. You know, collisions are scary experiences. Sometimes you wind up in the hospital yourself. If you've injured somebody, people get depressed because they remember that moment. And so one of the ways that technology can improve is if I can avoid the collisions, I actually improve retention of my drivers. Second thing is, you know, we actually make the drivers better by helping the surface these risks that the driver wasn't aware of. You see very quickly, within just a couple of days, the drivers go from good to great, right? Most commercial drivers are already good drivers, about twice as good as the average consumer driver. But you can still get better by finding these hidden things that you've missed. And so once you're a great driver, you're much in demand. And, you know, the fleet is willing to pay extra to retain you. It's easy to find a job if you have a great track record. The other part that technology can help is you can very quickly assess a new driver. So because of the shortage that you mentioned, you know, fleets are constantly hiring new drivers. New drivers are one of the biggest risks that are introduced to fleets. We have seen fleets where half of all damage, half of all collisions, is drivers in their first 12 months of driving. And so, you know, when you hire a newbie, they could be fantastic, but they could also be a big liability for you. And with technology, you can, A, assess that very quickly, right? Is this a safe driver? And secondly, you can fix it because it'll point out and say, you know, John needs coaching on speeding. Sandra needs coaching on tailgating. You know, Henry needs help with his distraction. He's addicted to his phone. And if you solve those top risk issues, everybody becomes a great driver. And then you can actually retain more drivers than you would have. In the old world, you really didn't have a way to improve drivers very quickly. So your choice was to have probation and, you know, and not convert them if they weren't any good. So that's the opportunity. You mentioned, you know, this long promise of autonomous vehicles. We are starting to see it for a few use cases, you know, some of the last mile delivery taxi service in certain areas. Waymo has been very successful in about a dozen cities now. And it's great for the cities where they have proven the technology. It's a great service. And it will fill in, you know, hours and times that human drivers may not want to drive. I think we'll start to see it on certain long haul trucking routes as well, mostly the southern U.S. where the weather's good, you know, Texas, Arizona. And that will help address the shortage as well. You know, it'd be a while, I think, before the sort of grand promises of autonomous driving will be everywhere, will really be met. We're still many years away from that. But if you can replace even a fraction of the long cross-country trips, you can solve a significant portion of the 100 million, you know, driver shortage that you mentioned, or 100,000.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
You've spoken about the hidden costs of insurance beyond the premium itself. Can you explain what those are and how fleets can better manage or avoid them?
There's a lot. I mean, the obvious is the payout for liability. But if you think about what happens in a collision, one of your employees is getting hurt. And so we see the second biggest cost that nobody thinks about, right behind third-party liability payments and nuclear verdicts, is actually workers' comp. And I've been shocked. We work with a lot of Fortune 100 companies. For most of them, their number one cause of workers' comp claims is motor vehicle injuries. You know, it can be driving from and to work, can be making a service call, sales call, delivery. You know, most of the rest of what companies do, whether it's office work or factory work, the OSHA has done a lot of work to make sure those places are safe, right? And obviously in office work, you know, generally are not exposed to really dangerous things. So driving for most of us, almost everybody in the country, is the largest risk we take every day getting on the road. And so if you're reducing collisions, you know, you're also reducing that workers' comp bill. The other thing is time away from work. You know, I already mentioned collisions. If you've gotten in a collision where either you got hurt or somebody else got hurt, or, you know, worst case, somebody else got killed, that's a really serious psychological trauma as well. And a statistic that shocked me when I first heard it, but I see it now unfolding in the fleets we work with. If somebody dies in a traffic accident, the odds are almost 100% that somebody else will die in either the victim's family or the driver's family in the next year, because it is so traumatic to go through a fatality experience that people get depressed, lonely, you know, lose meaning in life. And so that, as you can imagine, for a fleet, you know, not only do you have the damage payment, but then you wind up losing a driver or driver's family member. It's really sad and traumatic in that case. And then the last part is, you know, you've got operational impact, right? That driver, when they got into a collision, they were going somewhere. And whether they were picking up a passenger, making a delivery, installing something, some customer's unhappy. And of course, it's even worse if that customer was riding in the vehicle. You'll see not only, you know, hospital bill from the driver, but also from the passengers. And interestingly, the traditional safety systems, like everybody talks about automatic emergency braking, we've seen cases where automatic emergency braking prevented the collision, prevented you from hitting that car. But it happened so suddenly, so unexpectedly, that people inside the vehicle were thrown around and got hurt. So you can still see injury claims, even though there was no collision technically. And that's another area where AI can really prevent it. Because if I can give you a couple extra seconds early on, you can swerve rather than brake. You know, people can brace themselves. And so there's a lot you can do. Or if they're wearing their seatbelt, you can pre-tension the seatbelt and make the collision better. But all of that really means, you know, your business is making more money, right? You're delivering on time, customers are happy, you're delivering great service, and you've cut down on your costs. And we see for a fleet where transportation, or for business where transportation is a big component, anybody doing field service calls, installations, maintenance, anybody delivering goods of any kind, it is several points of margin improvement for the business, which can be worth billions of dollars for that company.
Stefan, have you seen success stories where fleets have been able to reduce claims frequency or severity through the use of AI-powered driver coaching or real-time monitoring?
Absolutely. We just published a case study with BP, you know, one of the top energy companies in the world. And they've had phenomenal success. It's an example of reducing collisions by two-thirds. They were already quite a safe company to begin with. You know, they've had quite a focus on safety over the last couple decades after some really serious safety events in the past. But we managed to take them from good to great. And you can see in the data, you know, 80, 90, in some cases, even over 90% reduction in risk factors, leading to about two-thirds reduction in collisions. One company that hasn't talked about it so much, but you can see it in the federal government data, is FedEx, who we've been working with for many years. And if you look at the U.S. Department of Transportation data, they've had 67% reduction in collisions as well. So great, great examples at really large scale. You know, these are both giant companies, obviously, nationwide. And it shows the power of AI. If you deploy it right, where it's helping the driver, and it's giving the driver enough time to avoid a collision and then ultimately to improve their driving around the risks that each of us have while driving. None of us are perfect. You can really change the game.
Looking ahead, how do you see insurance underwriting evolving in response to safety tech adoption?
Yeah, I've been surprised on this one, actually. I would say insurance has not evolved as much as I expected when I started Noto 10 years ago. I thought, hey, if you can reduce two-thirds of the collisions, insurance would immediately take advantage of that. We're seeing a handful of companies now adopt new technology. Most insurance companies that you talk to are looking at the built-in systems only. And as I mentioned, the built-in systems, they reduce collisions a little bit. Automatic emergency braking's great technology. You get about 40% reduction of the most common collision, which is rear-ending the vehicle in front of you. So it's about 8% reduction in collision damage. But it is an offsetting factor. You're putting in all the sensors that get crushed when you do hit something. So most insurance companies will tell you, hey, we've seen a slight reduction in frequency, but we're seeing an increase in severity, the damage that happens in collisions. So we haven't changed our prices very much. I think we're on the cusp of that changing. Because when you're talking about the magnitude of change that I described earlier, 65, 70% reduction in collisions, now it's really game changing for collision for insurance companies, right? Dramatically fewer payouts, avoiding those nuclear verdicts. And then with the data, being able to assess how good is a driver, now you can actually, when you're underwriting, more accurately price the risk for that fleet. So if it's a great fleet, they can get a much bigger discount. Historically, fleets have gotten 5, 10% discounts. But if you show that you're 30% better than somebody else, there's no reason you shouldn't get a 25, 30% discount. And conversely, if you have a very high-risk fleet, you can give that fleet a choice as an insurance company, right? You could say, hey, I won't renew you. That's the old answer. They just went looking somewhere else. But now you can say, hey, you guys are really high risk. We'll either help you reduce that risk by investing in technology. And we're working with a number of major insurance companies to do that, where they'll actually pay for deployment of Noto systems. Or you have to pay more because you're just pricing that into the risk. So I think, it's going to take a couple of years for that really to become standard. But I see some very exciting movement now because of the steep, steep increases, 18% year over year on average in insurance costs. Insurance companies have realized they can't just keep doing business as usual. They need to find a way to take advantage of the AI capabilities that are now out there.
Well, this has certainly been an interesting conversation, Stefan. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure. It's great. Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Stefan Heck, CEO and founder of Noto. And I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.